North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. It's Friday, March 8th. I'm Jack Peterson, and with me as usual, Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris. Oh, yeah. Okay, there we go. Try again.
Good morning, Jack. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. A little chilly out there today, but
that's still sunny, still nice, although yeah. They're telling us we're going to be seeing some precipitation here.
Yeah, of the wet variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are joined this morning by Zach Hagedon. He is the editor of the Sandpoint Reader, and we'll be hopefully doing a deep dive on kind of what's going on, especially at the county level here. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
Here we go, though, with a quick rundown of the stories of the week. In national politics, as far as Idaho goes, the Idaho Republican Party had their presidential caucus on March 2nd. Trump won approximately 85% of a relatively low turnout caucus. 39,500 voters showed up, which is 6.8% of eligible voters here in Bonner County. A little higher turnout, about 9.6%, about 87% of our local turnout went for Trump. Speaking of elections, registration is now open, and from March 4th through March 15th, people can be filing for their candidacy for public office in the May primary. That closes next Friday, March 15th at 5 o'clock p.m. The county clerk's office is where you go for that information. At the county level, the Bonner County Board of Commissioners met, and there was significant controversy over a subdivision, or at least the use of the word subdivision, to describe activity going on at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. Subsequent to that, there was a meeting of the Sandpoint City Planning and Zoning Commission attended by Commissioner Luke Ahmet of the county to discuss the issue further. And that's what we'll be diving into today with Zach. Here at the city level, there is a joint working session with Planning and Zoning Commission coming up on Wednesday. That's March 13th at 6 p.m. So if you're not at the KRFY Panhandle Community Radio annual meeting at the exact same time at Utara Brewing, you can go down to City Hall and attend the joint working session with the Planning and Zoning Commission and the City Council. Plenty more going on, but that's a good start. Did I miss any big stories from this week, do you think?
Well, not any big ones, but there was a head-on collision of two trains up near Bonner's Ferry.
This is news to me.
On a Union Pacific track.
Okay.
Which occurred, I think, last Monday. Fortunately, there were no serious injuries. One crewman had received minor injuries. It was a head-on collision. They were only going about 17 miles an hour, but as you can imagine, with that much mass, 17 right. mile an hour collision yeah. is pretty bad. Yeah. The trains, however, did stay on the track. And then sad news, a local man was killed in an avalanche. Snowmobiler Lance Gridley, age 54, died after he was caught in an avalanche in the upper area near Hunt Lake off of Pack River, or you could get to it, of course, from Priest River as well, or Priest Lake. Mm-hmm. So that's a sad thing. That's followed a bunch of big snows that we had last week up to Tuesday. Tuesday may have been the best ski day of the year, White Circle. There was a bunch of powder and a sunny day. So winter kind of, March came in like a lion for sure.
Yeah.
But now it looks like it's moderating into more almost spring type weather.
Yeah, it does seem that way. the snowpack this year is at a rather historic low, but these last few week or so of cold temperatures and precipitation has helped that a good deal, I would think.
Yeah, it has. So we're still down lower than average year.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on at the county. And I think it's been a long time since on these airwaves we really, before we get into like the details of what happened this week, I'd like to try and establish a little background on what is going on at the county level, especially as regards the fairgrounds, which are once again at the center of the controversy at, or at least of the debate at the county commission or the board of county commissioners. Zach, I know we didn't ask you to bring in specific dates or anything like that, but can you kind of, can we figure out when did this whole thing start? When this whole controversy, why is it so difficult for us to decide what's going to happen with the county fairgrounds?
This is going to be a little bit like summing up, you know, the history of the 30 Years' War or something. So
people have done it.
Yeah.
I mean, usually takes like 10 hours.
I'm going to take a stab here.
Yeah.
So this is going to be very basic, but.
Okay.
So we have to look back probably almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're getting close to 2 years now that we've been sort of fighting about this, to a debate about how to expand or whether to expand the services that are offered at the fairgrounds,
mm-hmm.
which is county-owned property within the city limits. There was a discussion at one point, probably closer to 2 years ago, I guess, about doing an ice rink.
I remember that.
There.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some parties were pretty hot to trot about that. And the Sheriff Darrell Wheeler, whose readiness center, the sort of sheriff's office facility, is immediately to the south, said, you know, no, we can't do that there because there's land. The land they were trying to do the ice rink expansion on, he claimed, had been committed to the sheriff's office
mm-hmm.
years ago and would be required to be used for an expansion of the Justice Center, Readiness Center facilities.
Yeah. Do you know by whose authority was he claiming that, you know, commitment had been made? Was it the county commission, or was he saying the fairgrounds had, the fair board had given him
that? To me, that to me is unclear. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that we've been talking about this for years,
yeah.
I have never really gotten a good handle on exactly who he's claiming has dedicated this. I mean,
right.
I assume it would be the county,
yeah,
because I mean this property was sort of dedicated to be the fairgrounds in the 60s,
yeah.
And he refers often to, you know, sort of in the 90s, it was it was said that this was going to be the sheriff's expansion area.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But, you know, I mean, he says this over and over again.
Yeah.
And other people will over and over again say, no, mm-hmm. it belongs to the county. It's the county's property. The county can dispose of it in the way that they want.
Mm-hmm.
So the ice rink concept went away amid a lot of controversy. Then it was discussed to have an RV park.
Mm-hmm.
And we went so far on that angle to get a grant from the Idaho Department of Parks and Rec, but they withdrew that grant mm-hmm. looking at the chaos surrounding the debate about mm-hmm. this property, saying that we don't believe you can adequately guarantee that you're going to do this project, so we're not going to give you any money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that fell away.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty substantial grant, too. I think it was $400,000.
Yeah, it was about $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a wake-up call, I think, to some people, that maybe this discussion around this property was getting a little too heated, that even the state wouldn't, like, they wouldn't give us money
mm-hmm.
that we already have been approved for.
Yeah.
So in the midst of all this, of course, we have the fairgrounds, financial issues that arose in October of 2022.
Yeah.
I think it was, where there was alleged fraud going on with the fair board. The then fair director, Darcy Smith, apparently took her life amid that investigation. That's still a major point of discussion at the county, is like how to audit those finances and whether or not, you know, the fair board was, or the county for that matter, were negligent in their duties. The sheriff obviously has had a lot to say about that as well. So we come now to this late stage where the RV park, the ice rink's gone, the RV park is gone. We've had a major trauma at the fair board. We have a reconstituted fair board.
Mm-hmm.
We have now rezoned portions of this property. The Sandpoint City Council in September of 2023 approved a rezone of the entire parcel.
Yeah, I guess we should say this is count. This is correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a piece of property that is owned by the county, by Bonner County. Mm-hmm. However, it's within the city limits of Sandpoint.
Right.
So, in some sense, this is
This is a weird situation because we have both county and city sort of hinging on each other, which is unusual.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times we talk about the county as a separate sort of universe constellation of whatever happens there.
Yeah.
And the city being a much more discrete unit of government. But in this case, they are kind of having to bump shoulders.
Yeah.
And so to bring us closer to where we're at now, back in September of 2023, the Planning and Zoning Commission received an application from the county, represented by now chairman Luke Ahmet. At that time, he was not the chairman, saying, you know, we want to do some stuff with this property. So we need to rezone, and we want to rezone in, you know, part of it to rural residential one, and then part of it to multi or mixed use residential. And, you know, please let us do this so we can move forward with whatever we want to do with the uses, whether it be RV park, ice rink, whatever. I mean, they have no actual plan for what they're going to do with this. They just want to rezone it so that they have the ability to do something in the future.
Right.
Planning and Zoning Commission at that time said no. They recommended that the city council not approve that rezone, but city council decided to overrule that recommendation and approved it with some conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So the rezone was approved with conditions that included, you know, things like bring the platting into compliance.
Yeah.
I mean, you look back to 1960s when this was originally platted, they didn't do it right. Or they didn't even do it in some cases.
Yeah.
I mean, land use policy in this county has never been particularly consistent. But going back to the 60s, you know, it's like they didn't really care. I mean, the fairgrounds was in the middle of nowhere back then.
Yeah.
Like it was way out in the country. Now we've got subdivisions popping up all over the place. I mean, this is a very dense populated area now.
Mm-hmm.
And going to be denser because there's a 150 something unit apartment complex planned for the northwest corner.
Yeah.
Up here. Where Samuelson Avenue sort of dead ends.
Mm-hmm.
One of the conditions for this rezone was you need to get a right of way and extend that road farther to the north so you can connect to this big development that's going to happen.
And there's there's a development that's being built right now at the southwest side of that, right?
Right. Yeah. Now there's houses popping up all over the place around this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the impetus, I think, for the rezone was we need to get this property in compliance with the law and with, you know, the standards that we have now so that stuff that happens around it can happen in a reasonable manner.
Mm-hmm.
And also so that we have the flexibility in the future to do what we want to do with this property because it is owned by the taxpayers.
Yeah.
And so Luke Ahmet showed up to the Planning and Zoning Commission this past Tuesday and came with an application that addressed those conditions, such as extending that right away from Samuelson Avenue and bringing some of these rezoned areas into compliance with the platting. And because they had to do that, you know, had to replat some of these areas and actually plat some for the first time, it required what was called a subdivision, which is to sort of, you know, divide these areas so that they are platted properly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that word subdivision apparently set off just a wave of panic among the usual suspects at the Bonner County Commissioners meeting, the sort of rotating cast of characters that shows up every Tuesday and has to have a problem with every single thing and has to light their hair on fire over every word that comes out of anybody's mouth.
And
so there was that morning of Tuesday, the commissioners had their business meeting.
Okay.
And this came up. And at that business meeting, you know, we had a lot of claims being made about how we didn't know this was happening. We never heard anything about a subdivision. What does subdivision even mean?
Mm-hmm.
At what meeting did we agree to do this? Whose authority is being used here? How was this notified? I didn't hear about this. The open meeting laws have been violated. Like, just tossing out all kinds of claims. Ultimately, of course, as always, Asia Williams' motion did not get a second, you know, to sort of require that we get to the bottom of all this. And Luke Ahmet at that meeting said, look, this has been notified properly. Everything's in order. I've already spoken to the city. This is the end of this project. Like, tune in tonight at the Planning and Zoning Commission and all your questions will be answered, which of course they were. The Planning and Zoning Commission met that night and literally every one of these complaints that were issued at the commissioner's meeting were addressed point by point by the very competent Sandpoint City staff. Mm-hmm. So what it turned out was everything was in order. This is fully notified. No open meeting laws were broken. Sheriff Wheeler at one point testified at the city that he had contacted prosecuting attorney Lewis Marshall, and Lewis Marshall believed that the law had been broken with notification, you know, open meeting law violations and all that. The Sandpoint City attorney said, no, we did this right. Everything is fine. Mm-hmm. no one lose your minds. Mm-hmm. And they recommended approval of the application to do the subdivision so that now the city will have a fully, adequately, legally platted property that now has a legal rezone so that now we can actually have some flexibility to do some things with this property. And the sheriff's claims that it apparently had been promised to the sheriff's office, that didn't seem to factor into the Planning and Zoning Commission's decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is not approved. It's going to go to the city council next. And we don't know when that's going to happen, but hopefully, God willing, this will end our discussion about the fairgrounds.
Yes.
But the rezone itself is only going to allow different sorts of uses.
Right.
The county has to decide how they want to use the property still.
Exactly. And I think the whole point of this entire exercise has been just to bring it into legal compliance with land use code, with city code, with, you know, the way that you record land.
Yeah.
And then to create the opportunity for future use. I mean, Amit said it himself. He was like, we're looking 50 years into the future. Like, we want to maintain this property for the taxpayers and we want it to have its highest, best use. Mm-hmm. And that's his argument. And I think the sheriff also has that argument, saying the highest, best use is to expand his justice center. Mm-hmm. And at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, he even said, you know, like, we have a great need for expansion of this, including potentially a courthouse in the future. And that, I don't know where that's coming from, that we need a courthouse at the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what he's basing that on, like why we need a second courthouse or maybe a replacement courthouse.
Yeah.
Well, you got to assume that's what he's talking about.
That he wants to consolidate all justice facility uses in this particular property.
Yeah. And Wheeler, the current sheriff, Darrell Wheeler, has designs for the sheriff's department on that property and has one ally, at least, on the three-member Bonner County Board of Commissioners, and that's Asia Williams, who seems, in general, to favor Wheeler's ideas for the property. Is that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if there are political parties within the political parties, there's a Wheeler party, and then there's a sort of an Amit party, and Asia Williams would most definitely be part of the Wheeler party.
Yeah.
As would Lewis Marshall, the prosecutor. The willingness with which Sheriff Wheeler will deploy the prosecuting attorney as a threat is a little telling. The fact that he would go before the Sandpoint City Planning and Zoning Commission and threaten that you broke open meeting law and I have the prosecuting attorney who's going to do a legal review. And so I ask you to, you know, table this item until the attorney, the prosecutor can analyze it and then tell you what you can do. Mm-hmm. I mean, that fell on complete deaf ears at the city.
Yeah.
The city attorney took one look at that and was like, no, we're in the clear. We notified this. We noticed it. The fact that maybe Sheriff Wheeler didn't read the paper, you know, the Daily Bee, where the notices go, that's kind of on him.
Yeah.
And he sort of complained even at the meetings. Like, I didn't see the paper that week and I didn't know that this was happening until I went over to the playground next door and saw a notice posted up. It's like, well, so you did see the notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That just because you don't see it doesn't mean it wasn't noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So at this point, then it seems like it's coming into compliance. Wheeler, of course, is a countywide elected official, as is Lewis Marshall, and
both of whom are running for office.
Yeah, and Asia Williams, who is not up for re-election this year. However, the body that will determine the future use of this is only a three-member body, and Williams only has one vote. So. Right. hypothetically, if Commissioners Ahmet and Bradshaw can agree on some kind of plan, they have the voting majority and could move forward with something here, some project.
Right, but I mean, we're going to see a different county commission no matter what.
Well, that's true.
After the election here. We don't know if Steve Bradshaw is going to run again. Mm-hmm. He has till the 15th to declare. We haven't heard any confirmation from him, any indication at all if he's going to run again. We know Luke Ahmet's going to run again.
Yeah.
But he has declared he's running again. Yes. He has two opponents.
He does have
Ron Corn and Dmitry Borisov.
Mm-hmm. And Dmitry Borisov being sort of the Bonner County Republican Central Committee's preferred candidate, and Ron Corn being a well-known sort of
conservative,
very conservative figure. So,
and is, we don't know if Steve Bradshaw is going to run again.
No, we don't.
It's seeming a little iffy that might be the case, but there are two individuals who are declared for that seat as well. Brian Domke and Brian Riley.
Mm-hmm. It seems almost assured that there will be at least one new person on that board come January. And who knows? I mean, I don't think there's any particular plan to do anything with this. They just want to get it into a position where they can do something with it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not this can be unwound, that seems to be kind of a hope that the sheriff expressed. He sort of
unwound through a legal challenge.
Yeah, or his contention that, you know, because the noticing wasn't done properly, or because of other sort of like procedural mistakes, that this would be null and void.
Yeah.
And I think that that's probably going to be the continuation of this conversation. I mean, now that it's sort of been recommended to the council, if the council approves it, then I think the discussion becomes, well, this was wrong, this was wrong, this was wrong. We have to null and void this and this and this. And I mean, I hope that we're done talking about this, but I don't think we are. I think even if this comes to a conclusion at the city level, certain parties in the county will continue to talk about this.
Yeah.
And they will try everything they can in their power to obfuscate and extend and delay and just keep this going until I don't even know when.
Well, when hypothetically this would be if the voting majority on the Bonner County Board of Commissioners changes to one that favors the development of a justice center. And then at that point, with this new zoning, would that still be permissible, or is that now taken off the table because it's zoned as mixed use residential?
I think the only argument that can be made at this point is that, you know, there was some procedural mistake in making the decisions, and so they would have to call into question the process of the city.
Yeah,
but as a mixed use residential zone, it would permit these types of. I mean, it's already got the jail on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure that zone would permit them to go ahead and put the Justice Center there. Just that it doesn't, the zoning doesn't preclude other types of uses.
Right. 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 So, I mean, long story short, it's been called a turf war, quote unquote, multiple times by city council members, even by the sheriff himself.
Yeah.
So I don't know who wins in a turf war, if anybody does, but we have reached a significant milestone in this 30 years war, but by no means the end.
Right. You're listening to the, not the morning show, you're listening to North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. Zach Hagedon is here from the Sandpoint Reader, generously unpacking for us the situation at the fairgrounds and at the county commission. Assuming there's not much more to say right now about the fairgrounds, I would like to just look at last week's news, where we also covered what's going on at the Bonner County Board of Commissioners, we're covering it then. Now these are legal processes, so I'm guessing there's no news, but I wonder if you know anything we don't hear, Zach. Last week there was a tort claim filed by Rick Kramer against Commissioner Luke Ahmet and Commissioner Steve Bradshaw and Bonner County, alleging deprivation of rights and false arrest and defamation. And also in the prosecutor's office, Deputy Prosecutor Scott Bauer filed a suit against Bonner County over the deputy clerk's job description. You know anything about that, or how those items are developing at all, or too slow?
We don't know where they are now, but I know that we did report on the tort claims last week.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
And in this business, you know, you tend to forget what happens week to week because you just kind of focus,
going on
on what you're working on. But, you know, the Rick Kramer tort claim, that, of course, relates to the trespassing drama that we experienced about a month ago, I guess it was.
I have the date. The event was January 26th.
Yeah.
That was when he was trespassed from the building. Commissioner Luke Ahmet put him under... briefly under citizen's arrest, and then the Sandpoint Police Department escorted him from the building. At that time, he has filed a tort claim against.
Yeah. And so his claim in particular is that, you know, he didn't do anything, is what he says.
Yeah.
Now, the trespassing that occurred was against Dave Bowman, a resident who has also run for office in the past, who had sent some emails to county commissioners that at least the chair Luke Ahmet appeared to indicate, or at least sort of express, a veiled threat, or maybe not so veiled threat.
Yeah.
That if he was told to leave, or, you know, be trespassed from the meeting, then, you know, things could get violent.
Mm-hmm.
And that to Ahmet rose to the level of, like, I don't feel comfortable having you in this room. Mm-hmm. So he trespassed him, and there was reference in some of Bowman's emails to Rick Kramer, and so therefore Ahmet also included Kramer in the trespass.
Mm-hmm.
And Kramer says, "Well, you know, you can't trespass me because somebody else talked about me in this context." So that's sort of the gist of what his tort is.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Bowers' tort. I mean, this is Scott Bowers. I don't even know how many lawsuits he has against the county right now.
I think up to at least four.
He's got multiple legal actions against his own employer. This one we haven't unpacked very well yet, because it's hard to keep up with how many lawsuits emanate from one individual. Suffice to say, this is all in the courts right now. We're unsure when this is all going to get sort of aired out, but the Rick Kramer's tort sounds like it might move a little faster, simply because it's pretty basic. I mean, he's saying, like, you cannot trespass me from a meeting on association with someone else.
Yeah.
I find it interesting to note that, as far as I know, Bowman hasn't filed anything yet.
Huh.
I mean, Commissioner Williams, who clearly is, you know, a fan of these guys, and they're a fan of her.
Mm-hmm.
she has a background in risk management, and at the time of that trespass, warned that there was going to be lawsuits.
Yeah.
So I mean, she's not wrong.
Yeah.
But the fact that Bowman hasn't filed anything yet indicates to me that, you know, maybe there's, I don't know, maybe he's preparing something much bigger.
Yeah.
But the fact that Kramer had one ready to go indicates that, you know, perhaps that case will go faster.
Mm-hmm. Bowman was a candidate for the same seat that Luke Ahmet eventually won in the last, round of elections in 2022.
Two years ago.
Yeah.
There's also another point of dispute there. Luke Ahmet has received a cease and desist letter from the sheriff, the prosecutor, and the coroner, claiming that he illegally removed IT access to the county servers from a sheriff's deputy that had been assigned for that. So I'm not sure what the disposition of that is, a cease and desist. I don't think it's been decided yet, but what they're trying to do is force the county to provide the, access to a bunch of digital records to Sergeant Marcus Robbins after Luke had apparently, according to this, instructed the IT director to alter the credentials so he couldn't access certain records. So there's another wrestling match right there.
Okay. Listeners are probably picking up on the central theme here is that there are powers and parties within the county government that do not feel like certain parties and powers should have authority in certain areas.
Yeah.
Luke Ahmet's position, it seems to me, is pretty clear that the county is run by the county commissioners. Therefore, they have sort of ultimate say. Our sheriff, Sheriff Wheeler, is a self-described constitutional sheriff. which is a term that I'm not sure that has a lot of credibility elsewhere, but in his mind, the sheriff is the highest authority in the county. And therefore, he feels that he has the ultimate say in a lot of these areas. And so what we're seeing is essentially a constitutional argument between a county commissioner and a sheriff.
Yeah.
About who's in charge of what and where and how and why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all of the, in case our listeners were not aware, all of these countywide elected officials are Republicans. They're all affiliated with the Republican Party. Here we are again over the limit. How about this? The Popsicle Bridge is looks like it's opening up again after a redesign. So that walking bridge
over
Sand Creek is reopening and will be available for pedestrian traffic.
And bicycles. It's a great bike ride.
I love that bike ride. Yeah, mm-hmm. I do that all the time. I was on my bike coming down that very steep hill to the Popsicle Bridge when I abruptly discovered that it was closed for renovations. And that was a...
And you tested your brakes.
I did. You didn't
end up in the creek.
No, I didn't. No, good. But I was, I very quickly had to, burned a little rubber there.
So real quickly, what do we expect for next week? Zach, any predictions of, for one thing, next Friday is the deadline for anybody who wants to run in the primary.
Right.
So mm-hmm. that'll be interesting to see who might also in this last week toss their hat in a ring.
We're going to try to compile all that with the help of Sandpoint Online.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And right now, the two commissioner seats are contested. All the legislative seats are contested, but sheriff, assessor, and prosecuting attorney, so far nobody has announced to oppose the incumbents there. So we may see some action mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, perhaps.
Will be interesting to see. Well, tune in next week. Please join us then. I think that's going to do it. Zach Hagedon, it can be found in the Sandpoint Reader. He can be seen live on stage last weekend and maybe a week or maybe 51 weeks from now. Who knows?
I just want to say, don't get hit by a piano, Zach.
Right. Yeah. Put on your piano proof helmets, everybody.
Okay. thank you for listening to North Idaho News of the Week. More of this next week, and stay tuned now for Autos Eclectic Mix all day long here on Panhandle Community Radio.